Blog Talk Radio.
We're in the midst of our year-end plus giving initiative at ACAC. Today we're going to hear from our church treasurer, Enzo Santilli, to learn more about the need for year-end plus and about what we can look forward to in 2018 as we start our campus expansion on today's edition of Ministry Beat. So stay tuned. We've got more coming right at you.
This is the ACAC Radio Network, and welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings at Allegheny Center Alliance Church, a vibrant urban congregation located in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This program will focus on the latest emphasis at ACAC known as Expanded Influence, especially the three C's of communication, campus expansion, and church planting. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in Internet Radio Land. Happy holidays. This is John Stanko, your host for Ministry Beat. And I trust that you are not stressed out and keeping in mind that Jesus is the reason for the season. On the day that we are recording this show, I am looking out the window at beautiful bright sunshine. It is actually the first day of winter. So unfortunately, the sunshine is not going to last very long. But I'm going to enjoy every minute that it is here. This weekend is not a reduced schedule at ACAC, but it'll be pretty much church light after last weekend's musical extravaganza. I know things will be pretty streamlined this weekend. We do have all services as usual on Saturday night and four on Sunday. It's the following weekend. It's New Year's Eve weekend that we're only having three services on Sunday, and then we are having a New Year's Eve, again, very streamlined service, more of a prayer concert that Pastor Rock has done in the past. If you were there with me this past weekend, it was a tremendous job that we saw done by all of our musicians, and it was a little jazzier than I thought it was going to be, but it wasn't exclusively jazz, but it just musicians get tired of the same old, same old. So you hear various hip renditions of O Holy Night and Silent Night. I tend to be a little more of a traditionalist where the Christmas songs are concerned, but it seemed like it blessed a lot of people. And I know, as a former musician, as somebody who's worked with musicians, that everything that went on was not part of the heavenly Jerusalem. It did not descend from on high. There was a lot of hard work that went into it. And so we express our appreciation to all of our musicians for the work they did this past weekend. But it's time to move on, and it's time to look to the end of the year and 2018. And of course, we have, as I mentioned in our introduction, the year-end giving initiative that is going, and I've had our treasurer Enzo Santilli on the show in the past. I thought it would be good to bring him on as we close out this year, just to hear from him and get some more information about year-end plus. Enzo, welcome to Ministry Beat, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Pastor John. How have you been?
Doing good. Are you staying around the town for the holidays? Are you heading out? What are you doing?
Home for the holidays. We do travel usually around Thanksgiving, but never Christmas. So we honor Perry Como's spirits here every Christmas.
Okay, so you stay at home. And, well, that's great. You have any extra time off from work or just the minimum?
I do. No. I think I can get all my work done here, so I'm going to try to take next week off. We only had 2 days that we had to be at work, so I think I can make do without that and enjoy a week off.
Nice. Well, enjoy it all with your wonderful family, and your son will be home from college. That's always special. I know your time is limited, so talk to us about how our giving patterns tend to be at ACAC, how the budget is structured, and why we need always every year such a strong December to stay on course for the budget that we do have.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. And there are some things that are similar to many nonprofits, and maybe a few things that are different with ACAC and how things work in a church. But like many nonprofits, we have a heart to accomplish an awful lot of ministry throughout the year. But there's some recognition that many donors, for a variety of reasons, some just get into the Christmas and the holiday spirit and want to give. Others that are well-resourced might be looking at their financial picture during the months of November and December and deciding what they want to appropriate for the Lord's work, how they want to manage their giving and their finances and their charitable situation. And so for us, it has become a bigger and bigger lifeblood. If you go way back, December was always a big month, and as I said, for all the reasons before. But over time, the proportion of gifts that we are getting in the December and November-December time frame by extension has increased. And it really, if you look at the calendar quarter, October, November, December, that's about, every quarter of the year, of course, represents 25% of the year by definition. But from a giving standpoint, it represents almost 40%. So we settle in 38%, 39%. So there's a clear emphasis. And then the thing that goes along with it is about 10 or 11 years ago, we changed our fiscal year to being ending on June 30th rather than the end of the year. And so what it allows us to do is it's sort of a mid-year checkpoint for us in terms of the ministry year. And really how we fare in December will dictate not only what ministry we can or can't do in the rest of the fiscal year into the summer, but also how we're going to ultimately plan the following fiscal year and then the budgets and so forth that we make at that time.
So from your perspective, and you've got, about 20 years experience now as ACAC treasurer?
Yeah, I've been doing this about, 17 to 18 now, and I was treasurer in another church before that, and I've been treasurer at other nonprofits along the way. So, it's been a long run at ACAC.
Yeah. How are you seeing the year-end plus initiative? How do you compare it to other years? What are you seeing happening that's unusual? Is it pretty much what you've come to expect?
Well, the good news is we are tracking very well. I believe that the thinking in the earlier promotion of this helped us. So I know people may not like to see Christmas trees in the mall in September and be all upset about why retailers talk about Christmas so early. We didn't go that far here, but I think with some of your videos, John, and some of the other promotions and communications, we did try to get a jump on this November so that we could get the message out, track against the message. Everything I'm seeing is tracking pretty well, as you had communicated to the congregation, between our general fund needs and some of our expanded influence needs that are in an early stage. If you just strip apart November and December and not look at the entire quarter, but just the last 2 months, we felt that the goal needed to be $1.4 million. And as of yesterday, we were at $1,000,220. So we are getting closer and closer to that goal. So another $10,000 donation come across the wire this morning. So that we continue to inch up, and it's definitely within striking distance. So we're not quite there yet, but if I were to look at a weekend offering plus a lot of the people that get motivated here in the final hours of the year, I'm feeling like compared to other years that we should get to that goal, which is a great praise. And a lot of people ask us, well, gee, aren't we at this point every year? And I think you just asked me, how is it different? It's not radically different. What I will tell you is we never take it for granted. Because of that shift to the year end, it's just a bigger and bigger number. So not only is the percentage shift, the absolute dollars shift higher and higher. I mean, in my 17 years here, there would have been years that we would have thought a $400,000, $500,000 December was a great month, and we were very happy with that. And so there's just so much more riding on it I literally follow this thing pretty much every day during the final month and see where we're at. But things are doing, we're getting gifts from new donors that haven't given before, a lot of donors that are consistent in their giving, some that are taking advantage of the stock market doing pretty well this year, and so a chance to maybe increase their gifts based on that level of prosperity. And so from that standpoint, we're tracking well.
Yeah, that's exciting. And but this is in some ways a prelude, Enzo, to what will be happening in 2018, not just with the budget, but with expanded influence, and especially with campus expansion. What can you share with us? What are your thoughts? What heads up can you give us? What can we expect? What are you thinking? What anything you can share with us about the next phase? This 1.4 in many ways was a precursor, a prelude to what is coming next year. What can you tell us?
Yeah, well, the expanded influence has, as we all know, three C's to it. So we are looking at a church plant strategy as being one of the C's, a broadened and more relevant, a high-touch communication effort, so communication being the second C, and then the campus expansion being the third. The first two are something that does require some money. It does require some capital, but are things that we eventually expect to be self-sustaining. So we expect to be able to eventually roll some of these new communication issues once we get them launched and stabilized into our general budget. And church plants, although it will take a few years, eventually we'd like the churches, such as the one we're doing in Homestead, to ultimately be self-sustaining 4 or 5 years out. The campus expansion is the biggest bullet, just because laying down bricks and mortar is just inherently a lot of cash outlaid. Now, it benefits you for a very long period of time, so it's still a good decision to make. But we will be challenged in 2018 in a way that probably most of our congregants hadn't been challenged before. All the debt on our facility was paid off nearly 20 years ago in 1998, and a lot of churches and other organizations would have had probably run three capital campaigns in that amount of time. So for us, it will be new, but the one thing that I have always taken some solace in is if you look at the size of the congregation and the dollars required to have built our current sanctuary back in the early 70s, and you fast forward all of that for inflation, you adjust for inflation, you adjust for the fact that we're a much larger church, the level of our ask here and what we're trying to do is actually a very modest project. You know, so it will be a multimillion dollar project, but it is far from the apex of sacrifice, let's call it, from what this congregation has been able to do. And so it's it will require commitment, it will require sacrifice, it'll be a lot of those things, but I think it's a very modest investment in the big scheme of things, a very prudent investment to make, and frankly one that we just have to do. We have to get our children back over onto this side of the street as our lease expires in a few years. But not only do we have to do it, we want to do it. You know, I think we want to make the facility much more integrated, more efficient, not have people having to walk all over the place in cold weather, rainy weather, that type of stuff. So I think it's going to be a big year, though. The time has come. We've been talking about it, praying about it for a long time, and I think the time has come to really pray and move the proposition forward.
What should we be? What change in our thinking should we be prepared to have as a congregation that we will probably at least some period of time we're going to have to engage some debt as our treasurer? What guidance can you give on that? Does this make you nervous, or certain things we need to be thinking and doing? Just prepare us for that eventuality.
Yeah, it will be, as I said before, more than 20 years since we've ever had to make a mortgage payment or any type of loan payment of that sort, and that will be new. I think we have a very conservative congregation, and that's a good thing in general. But a lot of folks might say, well, gee, should we really presume God's blessing by going beyond our means? And I would say that if you look at it as an investment in the kingdom and an investment in our flexibility to offer ministry, it's never been a bad one. So we didn't have to take on debt to buy Union Place, which we did about 14 years ago. And that building is used just like all of our facilities, 14, 15, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so, but if somebody were to go back to me and say, well, you know what, we didn't have the cash to buy it, and we might have had to take on a little bit of debt to do it, would we have still made that decision? Well, I think if you look at it, 50, and we might be around the end of paying off that debt now, had we needed to loan the money, and I think we would have said yes. We would have absolutely done it. Look at the great ministry. It's facilitated in the meantime our partnerships with UIF. You know, we have refugee groups using the Union Place Sanctuary for worship on Sunday afternoons and Sunday nights in their own congregation, the growth groups. I mean, there's been so many good things that happen. And so when I'd ask our people to prepare our hearts, is that it could always look like, well, why does the church need that money? Why are they asking for it again? What are we doing now? Do we really need this? You know, you can greet it with a lot of skepticism. But I would just say, look at what we've had before. And there had to have been people and congregations that went before us that laid that very foundation that we're enjoying now. And so to sort of pay it forward, you know, I think our mindset should be much more around, you know, what would that next generation call home, and what would they be able to do with it with the types of things that we're planning?
Yeah. Yeah, somebody paid for the buildings that we're in now. Some generation did.
Exactly.
And now it's our turn to do the same thing for the generations of the future. And I don't know any church that does, as you said, as much with what we have. You know, I drive through some parts of the city. I go to a lot of hockey games. I drive through a section. All the churches are dark every night that I drive. And ours, like you said, opens at 7 in the morning, closes 9 or 10 at night, and that's 7 days a week. So we really have maximized our presence. Before I let you go, I've always admired, I was involved in the budget process that you certainly, some of it you inherited, a lot of it you helped shape. Talk to us in just a few minutes. What happens after the first of the year? You're already getting ready for July 1st. Talk to our listeners. Give them an idea of the stewardship and the oversight that that you and others give to the financial process, not just for this special need, but for the day-to-day expenses.
Well, yeah, we will use the year-end as a good barometer to see how are people responding. We've always been guided by a view that Pastor Rock has laid down years ago that I think resonates with everybody that serves in financial capacities here, and that is that God pays for what He orders. And so we look at it and say, well, If something isn't resourced, maybe he didn't order it. Well, we'll do a gut check on all of that. But there's been a strong sense over the years that we are in the right ministries. Some of them may need to be modernized or adapted for the current generation as time goes on. But we're serving the right people. There's a lot of need in the community. And so the budget process will really start pretty much by late February. And the first thing that we do as a finance team is to actually have Pastor Rock speak into it, and based on his time away in August as well as any other leanings that he has, we just ask him, you know, what do you think the Spirit is telling the congregation? What are those things that we need to prioritize? And he's not coming with dollars. He's coming with ideas at that point, but it really does shape it so that when we are praying, we're praying intelligently into it. And trying to sense what that is. And so, you know, my role in it, along with a couple of the other leaders early on, is to just say, all right, but take all that, take some of the giving trends. Where do we think we can be from a contribution standpoint? What do we think that this ministry can support? And so you have sort of a list of things that we either want to keep doing or start doing, and then we have a numerical thing that says, well, this is how far we could go, right? This is what we think a good faith stretch would be. And then the process goes on with all of the different staff leaders and so forth to look at their budgets, add things that they want to add, drop the things that they want to do, economize on things that they are still want to do but maybe think they can do more efficiently. And so those ultimately result in budget drafts. They get reviewed by the financial officers, by ultimately the full finance committee, and ultimately our governing board, our operations board, that passes it. And our goal is to be done by the middle of May, so it's about a three-month process from mid-February to mid-May. If we're not done, we take some time to do some more homework. In a couple of years, we've had to do that. But we ultimately get it done by June, and almost always we have passed the budget, unlike the federal government or the state government. We passed it by the beginning of the fiscal year. Everybody knows the plans, and that sets in motion. And I really think provides the ministry stability as well as the encouragement that they're going forward knowing, you know, that the congregation's behind them. And that's what our process looks like.
Yeah. What's our online giving looking like? I know you've mentioned in the past the percentage of the money that comes in online. Is it getting – are you seeing that increase?
Yeah, it's. I had to adjust my own thinking on this because, you know, for the last couple of years, I would get the weekly deposit that we'd run off to the bank, and I'd say, oh, that wasn't a good week. And the next week, oh, boy, that wasn't a good week either. And even though I had access to all of our online tools, it just wasn't part of my mindset. But we've all learned to shift because we're seeing pretty much now this won't be true in December where people write either a lot of large cash gifts or they transfer stock or other investments, but on a run-of-the-mill month, it is now approaching a fourth of all of our giving. So when we pass the offering baskets on the weekend services, that's about three-fourths of our giving, and about one-fourth of it now is online. And we've made a lot of improvements in the last couple of years to the online giving platform. It's no longer just sort of a scheduled ACH draft. You can either schedule a series of payments on a debit card or credit card. You can give one-time gifts. You can do it from your mobile if you download the ACS app. And so you can participate. So a lot of people say, well, you know, can online giving, I can't really participate in the offering. Yeah, that's a spiritual experience for me. And I said, well, we'll do one better. If you have a mobile phone, we won't look at you funny as long as you don't have the buzzer set, your ringer set to loud. And if you can keep it soft and participate during the offering, there's no reason somebody couldn't give. And the full list of funds and causes to give to come up on the mobile platform, and you're able to experience it just like somebody dropping a check or cash in the basket as it goes.
Very good.
The one challenge that I think we will have is that similar to I think about newspapers, right? And so when people started reading things online, they didn't have a way of knowing of basically figuring out how to charge for that, right? They were used to charging for newspapers you'd buy in the store or get delivered to your house, but they didn't know what to do with the web. And so now some of them are starting to put those paywalls in. Now, we're obviously never going to charge for people experiencing on our website, but I think the one thing we haven't quite conquered and will be a challenge for us in the future is as people's definition of attendance is a little different in this new world, and you know, they might think, well, maybe I'll just catch the service online this weekend if it doesn't work for me. It's making sure that those still translate into regular giving. That's probably one of our biggest challenges with the electronic shift is that people still connect that with a giving experience. It's obviously a lot more obvious when you're in the pews versus when you're searching and listening to sermons online.
Yeah, the adjustments and changes are never ending, are they? but we so appreciate you and the team, you know, being on the wall and being vigilant and giving such great oversight, and I and any of us can go out and recommend that people give because we have absolute confidence, first in God's direction, secondly in the work that you and the team do in providing accountability and oversight for the finances. I'm going to let you go. I know you have another meeting. Thank you so much for all your labors on behalf of the Lord and on behalf of His people at ACAC. We wish you and your family Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we look forward to just exceeding as we're going our year end plus, that we may have all the resources we need to do what God wants us to do.
Amen to that, and Merry Christmas
Amen.
To you too, John.
Thanks, Enzo. Take care. God bless.
Sure. God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, there you have just a quick update and report from our treasurer, Enzo Santilli. Obviously, if you have any questions, you can always drop us an email, me an email, and we'll pass them on and get them answered. We want to always provide the kind of accountability that gives you confidence that your giving has appropriate oversight. Well, that's about it for now and probably about it for the year. I don't think I'll be able to line anything up for next week as this is just before Christmas if you're listening to the recording, but this will be relevant even into next year. So this is John Stenker, your host, signing off. It's been great to reconnect through this medium throughout the year. I look forward to doing more of it next year, keeping you up to date on what's going on at ACAC here on Ministry Beat. So long for now. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And don't forget to follow the Spirit's initiative where year-end plus giving is concerned. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to this edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again soon on the ACAC Internet Radio for more insight into and information about the Expanded Influence Initiative at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.acacreach.com. If you have any questions concerning Expanded Influence or with ideas for future shows, you can write John at john.stanko@acac.net. JOHN.STANKO. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.